Hello, welcome back to New Rock Stars Debrief. I'm Eric Boss. Joining me today are Philip Molina.
Hi, this is my voice.
Yes.
Really happy to be here.
Wait, no, that's not my voice. It's similar.
Oh.
Whose voice is that? That's Maude Garrett.
Hi, I'm Maude Garrett, and I'm back, bitches.
Welcome back. It's great to have you back. And we're going to be talking about some Marvel movies on this episode, a new Walking Dead spinoff that's in the works, an Edge of Tomorrow sequel.
Slick, Devin.
Remember that great movie with Tom Cruise? Yeah, we just had a little
hand
reach across.
I was having a Jean Grey moment, but yes, fine, take that away from me.
If you're having a busy week, by the way, and you don't have time to sit down on your laptop and watch this whole thing, you could be listening to the podcast version right now and be very confused about what just happened.
That's true.
Because there was a X-rated prop on the table and Devin had to save us and take it off the table. So you can listen all about it still on the Himalaya app. It's a great place to get your podcast. Himalaya is actually helping us support this direct show and
yes.
make it. Or you could listen on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, anywhere you get your podcast. And you can do it while your podcast. You could do it while you're partying or potting or anything. You could just be listening to us right now.
Hi.
That all sounds great. Let's get started with our lead story.
Let's.
This whole idea of what comes next in the Marvel Cinematic Universe beyond Avengers Endgame, beyond Spider-Man Far From Home. Right now, we got Captain Marvel coming out.
Has anyone else seen Captain Marvel?
So Maude's seen Captain Marvel and Erica and I have not, and she's been rubbing it in our face.
Okay. So here's a little thing. Every time you mention Captain Marvel and I don't like what you're going to say, I can drop a spoiler.
Okay, well, don't do that.
Well, maybe compliment me then. Say something nice then. Say something I want to hear.
You're very controlling.
Goose is called Goose and not Chewie, which is originally in the comics because they're doing a Top Gun theme. Keep going.
I don't know.
FOMO. I do want to know these things actually kind of now. Maude, I don't like your sweatshirt. She's not going to do another spoiler.
There's someone who's not a good actor in the film.
Is it the cat?
Yeah, we both have things against cats. All right, Eric, what's going on with that?
Well, here we go. So after Captain Marvel, of course, is Avengers Endgame, and that's going to be a major game changer in lots of ways in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, so much that Kevin Feige doesn't want to tell us what comes next, for good reason, probably. And then after that comes Spider-Man Far From Home. That's really all we know, and some people are saying that might be too much of a spoiler just by knowing that Spider-Man and Nick Fury come back in a story that's set after Avengers Endgame. Some people are saying that's too much to know. So you can understand why he doesn't want to know, want us to know more than that. Well, right now, if you look at the Disney lineup schedule for the next couple years, currently in May of 2020, they have listed untitled Marvel film.
They have to because they're trying not to spoil. It's great. I love it.
And they just want to hold the slot. But what
they
is that?
Normally, by now, they have filled that slot and then told us.
They tell us everything.
Normally,
there's
by
a trailer.
Now, we haven't had a moment like that.
Yeah.
Right.
Podcast listeners, that was a snap.
Yes.
There you go.
A tiny
we'll
little neck was
snapped. We'll add it in post.
Louder,
you have
please.
No soul, so you can't snap.
I guess, how did you know? I didn't like hearing that. There are four cats that play Goose.
Oh. But only one survived.
Behind the scenes spoilers.
Four cat center.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, here's the deal. That May 2020 movie was going to be Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Of course, all that controversy happened. They had to move it back. There were scheduling issues. Mm-hmm. All the stars in that movie have other projects that they're working on. They had to line it all up, and they have to find a new director, right?
Ooh.
So that's
going on. Well, Kevin Feige just straight up said, you know, we're kind of focusing on other stuff right now.
Right. So that's been shelved. That's been pushed back. But some other contenders of what that May 2020 movie could be, some announced movies that they said for Phase 4, a Black Widow solo film.
I like that.
Black Panther 2. Like they gotta have a Black Panther 2. That made so much money. And Doctor Strange 2 has been confirmed to happen.
And got 3 Academy Awards. Are you kidding me?
A Black Panther, yeah.
Thank you.
Is that the most winning Marvel? That's only Marvel film to have won an Oscar. 3.
I think another previous movie may have gotten...
Maybe
like
Doctor Strange
design.
Was nominated for visual effects, but
didn't
win.
It.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we have those 3, Black Panther sequel, Doctor Strange 2, and a Black Widow movie. But as far as we know, none of these movies are currently in production. They've
That's
been announced.
The
movies
crazy
been
detail.
Written. They haven't started shooting yet.
Like, again, May 2020 is in a year.
Right.
Right. And they're not shooting a Marvel movie yet, as far as we know.
Yeah. On average, in most big budget movies, you need 2 months to do principal production on it. That's not counting reshoots, which every major movie goes through, and post-production, which takes probably the bulk of the amount of time on these movies.
These movies have a number of visual effects. I believe most of the movie does require substantial. So I don't think they can do it.
Yeah. Well, the reason I think they've locked this down is it's a prime weekend for movie releases. Pretty much for the past several years, they've had that first weekend in May. They've even started to get a jump on it and released the past two Avengers movies, or Avengers Endgame, Avengers Infinity War, moved it up to the last weekend in April, so they can get kind of a two-week bump out of that. Mm-hmm. And then no one will really compete with them that second weekend because it's still going to be a popular movie. This will be, of May 2020, 10 months since the last Marvel movie, which will be Far From Home, coming out this July. And that will be a long amount of time.
I'm about it.
Right.
It's you gotta take a break.
I gotta stretch it out a bit. Yeah, I gotta take a breather.
Really, I see this as there's two different ways this could go, and both are pretty interesting. Either we're gonna have a long amount of time, a long hibernation between Marvel movies, or at least longer than usual for them, because really, at most, we see maybe 8 months between. I mean,
if they scrap the date and they end up saying, you know what, we're not gonna put a movie there because we don't have one in production, then you're talking about a really long time.
Could be like a year and a half or something. Yeah. Like that, which is a very long time. So that's one option. Or the other option, which I think is also very interesting, maybe something is in production and somehow using Disney and Marvel's resources, they're keeping it hidden from us. Ooh. They're keeping it under wraps. I don't know how they would do it because these are Herculean efforts to get these movies out, involving thousands of people from PAs to set people from different people's agents who have to know if they're working on things.
And then they put it on IMDb straight away?
You would think there would have been a leak if something is in production. Or maybe something's in pre-production, right? Like, they were able to keep a lot of things about Far From Home a secret when we knew that movie was happening and they were shooting all over Europe, you know? So there are ways you can keep things under lid. But
Aquaman filmed all in Australia. No one was really talking
underwater
about that.
Even.
Yeah.
That's why no one noticed.
Yeah. Yeah. They looked out and was like, oh, it's lots a nice day again. Great. Whole movie's being shot.
I don't buy that Australian accent.
So what do we think? Which way do we think this is going? What do you think they're not telling us?
I have a theory. They're pivoting away from movies because a little thing called Disney Plus is happening.
Well, and our
that time
off-screen producer had the same theory.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Hey, yeah, we're on the same page with that one. Because when you think about it, we've got how many Star Wars shows? We've got how many Disney shows? And the Disney, the talent that they've got already, like with Marvel, Loki,
Loki series.
Well,
we got
Tom Hiddleston, not Tim Hiddleston.
Falcon, Falcon Winter Soldier has a duo series that's
coming
out.
The Howard the Duck saga.
They're moving to the small screen.
Yeah.
They've got to take on Netflix. But and Netflix isn't in cinemas.
Yeah, sometimes I do that too, where I can't remember if it's cinnamon or cinnamon. I'm pretty sure they're both
delicious. I didn't like hearing that. Let me think of a good thing to tell you about. Oh, that Infinity War Endgame was filmed before Captain Marvel.
Interesting. Just to recap for everyone, Maud is...
every time you say something I don't like hearing,
well, it's,
I'm gonna
and
spoil
it's getting
Captain
really
Marvel.
Loose onto what she won't like, and it's getting really loose as to what a spoiler means.
I can make an 18-minute video about the fact that those movies are shot in that order.
Because a lot of people are watching, I'm not hot and soulless. I'm obviously saying things that are available on the internet, and the information is just there if you look for it.
But if you look at our comment sections, those constitute spoilers, according to some people. You told me this movie's happening that
just
I could have found
nice
out through Google?
All this comes down to is just being a little nice to me, and that's something that you're struggling with. So I'm gonna use power as knowledge. Knowledge is power.
Real quick, though, on this topic of what they could be hiding from us, I do want to acknowledge that it's not like they don't do that. What's his face? Brian Michael Bendis has been kind of leaking publicly that he's got something that they're working on with Marvel. And he's just not allowed to say what. But that's a whole movie by one of the most famous creators in comics that we don't know anything about. I mean, I guess there's some theories about who it could be about. There's a Kitty Pryde idea that maybe were saying that it could be. What's crazy about that is he's I've got this whole Marvel movie coming. It's related to the X-Men. He's it's definitely happening. And yet we know the Disney Fox merger is coming. So is he actually talking about a Phase 4 X-Men movie and he's just kind of casually throwing it out there? There's these huge things that they just know all these answers to and we don't.
Could a long enough delay spoil some of the, not spoil in the way we've been using it, but kind of lessen the enthusiasm for properties, the way that some have said Game of Thrones season 8 they're maybe a little less excited about because they've had to wait over a year and a half.
I think we've had oversaturation quite considerably. I think that's why they're pushing back the Star Wars stuff, because they just were wham bam so hard with that. I think that they are telling such a great story, and then once the arc is there, it's let that story kind of wash over you so that when this merger does happen, we can tell whole new stories and kind of like really separate that gap. In the meantime, the television side of it all. And I think, you know, the fact that this story is so controversial in, you know, who lives and who doesn't ever come back, the fact that we did hear Far From Home that Spidey's back, for me it was just like wind out of my sails. It was like, mm-hmm. Well, all right, cool, that yeah. one's taken care of, and that was the one that hit most people the hardest. I think they're keeping mum on a lot of things just so that you that Endgame can be at its full potential. It can be the most purest form.
Yeah, but it also yeah. sounds like you're thinking that they are going to take a long break and maybe even scrap the May 2020 date, and then we'll all have to find lives and new jobs, honestly.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, this might maybe his big announcement, because I think what we're waiting for is for Endgame to come out, obviously. And it yeah. sounds like a month later, Kevin Feige's going to go up on a big stage somewhere and put up a big schedule calendar list.
And
that'll
Burning
be
Man.
Like, and we're going to have to make like 80 videos out of that to yeah. stay alive. Because I think hopefully that announcement will be a big exciting moment. Maybe you'll have a trailer ready, or just the announcement of the streaming series. Maybe these streaming series mm-hmm. will be even bigger events than what we're talking about them. Maybe one of these streaming series will actually be a movie, and they've been calling it a streaming series in order to
or like
keep
a
lid
or
on
like
it.
A trilogy or something like the original It for television that was a 2-night event or yeah. something. Yeah, that'd be awesome. Just a reminder, this show is a debrief, and we just interview each other and catch each other up on the news of the week. This one was a little weird because it was a realization we had about something we don't know. We realized, hey, nobody knows anything that's shooting right now. Wouldn't we know by now? Does that mean we're about to have a huge gap? So the news story you just got caught up on was that we don't know something.
Yeah.
But it's right. kind of a big deal.
You know what's going to happen though? D23. I think that right. Disney's going to hold event. All of the... They're not even doing Comic-Con, really. They're making mm-hmm. D23 mm-hmm.
their
own.
They have
their
own Comic-Con.
Yeah. yeah. So I think that's when we're going to get all our answers. We just have to be patient, young Padawan.
Speaking of answers... Interested. I think it's time
to ask questions.
Trivia.
Right. So our trivia question. Yeah. So we're moving on to this week's trivia question. Mod's going to ask it for us. As always, the loser will have to draw from the GIF of shame. Do
reminder that Devin set up a soundboard. I don't know if he's ready to use it this week, but Devin, you got a sound for trivia?
Boom. Boom. Uncertain boom.
Weird. It sounds like
so
Devin's voice saying
week.
Boom
with a question mark
that was
on
the
brand.
Last thing you ever
yeah,
for the show.
It kind of sounds like he might have forgot to set up the soundboard.
We've had a lot going on behind the scenes. Been a busy day.
How about we just smoke and mirrors with this trivia question then?
Let's do it.
Which MCU film shot under the secret title of Summer of George?
All of our answers are here in the bucket. As always, we'll reveal the answer later in this episode. But for now, we're going to move right on to some other news that came out this week. Philip, you were talking about this. What have you heard?
Ooh, guys. Okay. Do you guys remember Edge of Tomorrow, a.k.a. Live, Die, Repeat?
Yeah, I preferred it as Live,
okay.
I thought
much
were,
better name
they
for that movie.
They actually changed it, though.
They changed officially. It after it came out because it performed so poorly under Edge of Tomorrow because people were like, what does Edge of Tomorrow mean? Right. I think it means 11:59 p.m. it turns out Live, Die, Repeat way more accurately described
yes.
what that movie's about.
And this was a Tom anyway, Cruise movie, right?
This is a Tom Cruise movie that was amazing. It was written by Chris McCrory. Did not do great at the box office again. They had to change the title. But then, because it was so good... It was a hit on streaming. Mm. So boom, sequel now in the works. Emily Blunt, Tom Cruise, Doug Liman, the director, all coming back.
Oh, great.
This movie is like the sleeper movie that like is everyone you show it to is like, this is a blast.
It's really
it's
great.
Fantastic.
So
yeah.
this is like a premise. It's Groundhog Day meets a war movie.
Yeah,
a
Groundhog Day meets Independence Day maybe?
Yeah.
Of the days,
yeah.
Battle of the Days?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Battle of the Days is even a better name.
Right. It's
where
like,
were you before?
I don't know. I still would have watched Live, Die, Repeat over Battle of the Days. I think this is such an underrated movie in that people just haven't had a chance to rate it yet because they haven't seen it. It came out the same weekend as The Fault in Our Stars, and that movie made so much money.
Same audience.
Same audience.
So
same demo.
Tears.
I mean, I watched both. I watched, I think we saw Edge of Tomorrow that weekend at like the Vista
that.
Theater. And then
I've seen it a few
out.
Times.
It was such a great movie. And then I went and saw Fault in Our Stars. I'm like, I would have loved this movie too had I seen it. But yeah, it was. It's such a great movie and such a great premise. this, but what else is going on with this sequel that's happening?
So this time the script is being written by Matthew Robinson. He's actually the guy who wrote The Invention of Lying.
Oh, the Ricky Gervais movie?
Yeah, which is the Ricky Gervais movie where in a world where there are no lies, he's the first person to come up with the line. Yeah, so in one way, it is a very high concept movie. So maybe he has an interesting idea. It's a lot less action, so I'm kind of a little concerned about going that route with him instead of Christopher McQuarrie, who writes great action films. As a reminder, by the way, and this is a big spoiler if you haven't seen Edge of Tomorrow, so pause this right now and go watch it. It might be under the title of Die Repeat. But if you don't care, that movie ends with Tom Cruise's character successfully killing all of the aliens, or known as mimics, and then he wakes up one last time. And then Emily Blunt's character and others are also brought back to life. And it's kind of like, hey, everybody, we like, everything's fine now. And they have no memory of their mission or the movie even having happened.
Uh-huh. Is that what happens in the end? I've seen the movie twice, and I just...
Well, nobody remembers the end of it.
The ending is a little under... Yeah,
yeah.
It's
so,
a grace note
of an
ending.
I think I spoiled it wrong. Go more. Well done.
That's the best kind of spoiler. Incorrect one. So I think it's safe to assume that the sequel is going to feature more of that sort of time looping thing going on, since that's such the main part of the original. But my question to you guys is, how do you think it's going to do it? The mimics, just a reminder, the mimics' blood is the source of the time looping, and then all those aliens are dead, so
blood's going to be sold on the black market.
The blood is being
like
sold. Somebody kept it.
Pacific Rim type thing where he sells it on the black market. The mimics are like the foot soldiers, right? And then you have the alphas, which are like their commandos who have the time travel because they're linked to the central node.
Yes.
So the way it works is Tom Cruise, who's perfectly cast in this movie, it's like the whole meta commentary on how people go see Tom Cruise movies, because on some dark level, we like seeing Tom Cruise get beaten up.
Yeah.
And so you get to see him die over and over and over again in these movies, the way like a very dark, even darker version, Groundhog Day. But I think what happens in it essentially is he gets covered in their blood, and then that blood becomes infused with his, so that every time he dies, it resets all of time so that he can start that day over. I'm thinking for a sequel, we might see something like what we see in Happy Death Day to You as a sequel to Happy Death Day, another Groundhog Day premise. It starts back to the first invasion and knowing all that he knows, and he has to go in some other alternate way.
The whole movie it was not done. He's in just another loop that he didn't even realize.
A broader layer, a loop club sandwich, if you will, is the loops just get greater and greater the more you zoom out.
Yeah, or another way to see it is kind of the Back to the Future 2 version of just returning to the first story again, but maybe heightening the stakes somehow. It's about his kids, maybe.
Something's got to be done about your kids. Surrey's out of control.
Okay, or my question is it going to be kind of like what Maude was saying, not necessarily about the aliens are still around or whatever, but maybe somebody held on to some of their blood, and maybe there's like a human force that is using that technology of being able to reset the day for nefarious purposes?
That is interesting. Like, if you are you saying, like, someone else in your world you know has the ability to restart the day, so you have to stop them from being able to do
like
that?
A lot of these movies are about your protagonist wakes up and realizes, oh crap, I can relive the same day again and again, and then they both do a thing where they explore like what that means, what they could do, and they try to get out of the time loop. Usually
they run amok before that.
Like when they try to see like what they're able to do, and then they try to get out of it. But in this premise that I'm pitching, to be fair, off-screen producer pitched this. But
are we back in the pitch room? Is this pitch
room? Yeah, this is a pitch room. But the idea would be, okay, well, what if that person that woke up repeating the same day is actually a bad guy?
Oh, interesting. What an interesting villainous power. Like, what could be done?
Whoops, I didn't successfully take over the world. Let's hit the reset button.
Yeah.
You know, and they get a little further and a little further each time.
You know, I want to see, like, an extrapolated version where someone who has that ability, it's not so much like Groundhog Day or Happy Death Day, where they don't make it past the 24 hours, but in Live, Die, Repeat or Edge of Tomorrow, he lives on for weeks, and then he eventually dies, and then it resets. What if someone lives their entire life? Like, that person has to be kept in containment to keep the aliens from, like, restarting the day, and get, like, if they win that war, and they just keep him alive forever and ever and ever, and he has to be kept in, like, this bulletproof cube, you know, this Popemobile back, so that no one could ever kill him. And then he dies of old age. Boom, the day resets.
And this is a dream you had?
I believe it's a dream I'm currently having.
I missed that first half of that because I was too busy thinking, if I was evil, how would I use that? And why that's not already like an X-Men power?
Ooh, and how would you?
I went off in a... If you're watching the video, you saw where I went with that. I went deep with it. It felt good.
Wow. Send us a GIF of whatever we missed.
My God.
Well, I'm glad we talked like nerdy about that for a second, because that is one of my favorite movies.
It's amazing.
Sci-fi movies from the last couple
it's
of
great,
years.
It's great, isn't it? Yeah.
But somebody fill me in now on something.
That'll be me. Hey, what's great. Up? HBO has released character posters for Game of Thrones this week.
Ooh, boom. I saw these. Yeah.
We've got 20 different characters sitting on the Iron Throne, which is a who could it be? Who's going to be?
Who could
the,
it be
the,
now?
The end there.
Is it me, or do they all look like they're like, are like, their heads are photoshopped onto their bodies?
It's really
or something.
Bad Photoshop, like, if you blow it up like we have just now.
Like,
but the saturation that you've done on that is just beautiful. Look at that plum gown.
Yeah, you'll see as we kind of scroll through these, but their heads all look weird. Sorry. Yeah,
that's okay. Well, I mean, are they using it from a
my head looks
older,
weird,
they don't want to give out any clues, so they're making it look like a bad Photoshop job. Either way, we've still picked it apart, and we're going to find you the little clues to dig into, like this one. We've got Queen Cersei. Now, as a queen, a queen's not wearing a crown.
Oh, yeah, where's the crown?
She's
that's
just
odd.
Got a little sweet blonde bowl cut going down there.
Maybe she only wears her crown in her YouTube videos because it's kind of associated with her brand, but when she's not on camera, she doesn't wear the crown.
She's busy ruling to actually have to put it on.
I don't believe YouTubers have alternate lives and identities. It's just on camera is what we get.
That's
what we
one
see.
Of them. Do you think, though, that this is like them telling us a sign? Maybe she's not going to rule after all?
Well, it is interesting, right? How many queens can you have? You know, the War of the Five Kings is in the past.
Ask RuPaul how many queens you can have. Thank you. I have to say the joke twice, but I mean,
yeah, no, we're better the second time.
Thank you.
We should ask RuPaul that. So we'll get her on the line.
Can
we get on?
Ask your producer a new segment idea. Ask RuPaul.
That is an interesting detail, I think. You would think that if she's sitting on the throne, she would have her crown the way that most other monarchs are wearing that thing at all times.
There's a lot, like 20 characters. I feel like that's they're the only people that are left in Westeros at this stage, just 20.
Well, and here's something, the fact that not only is she not wearing a crown, but she's sharing the throne with 19 other people.
Oh, yeah.
That is kind of signifying like it's up for grabs again.
Right, yeah. It's in play.
The whole of this is the Game of Thrones. You either win or you die.
And that is the hashtag of the season, right? The For the Throne. Mm. Yeah.
There you go. Jon Snow's
next.
I'm
making a joke. It's just what it is.
I'm supporting you with my sarcasm. Jon Snow is sitting in the exact same position, though, that Ned Stark was in the promo picture for season one.
See, that's interesting.
Gripping that sword, but obviously it's a different sword because Ned Stark's sword doesn't exist anymore. It's been melted down. But he's got his great sword. We're going to see maybe more ghost instead of just being on the end of that pommel, you reckon? Anyway, you know I'm team ghost all the way. What do you think that represents, though? Remembering that Ned is not even John's dad. It's his uncle.
That's right.
But it's the patriarch of the Starks, right?
It's the king of Winterfell.
King of Dunorf?
Of the what? Sorry, I'm sorry.
King of Dunorf.
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 Boom goes the king. I think that's a really, that has to be intentional in this case, the way he's holding pommel, sitting on the throne. Yeah, I mean, he has carried on Ned Stark's legacy. Whether or not he's his direct lineage son, he is the protagonist of the show now.
Even
and
the
he is
belt
embodying
loop,
his
guys, role. Look closer. The belt is done the same way.
That's true. Can
zoom
we go
in on their crutches.
Yeah, can you zoom in on that, Devin? I think you
zoom
can.
Zoom in hands?
I think if you stretch the corner.
On the same side.
Oh, whoa. We're zooming in. We're enhancing.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Here we go. Ready?
You
there you go.
Notch?
Look at that. Okay.
Look at that.
The loop on the belt.
The
and then go to
the
other loop the on
same.
The other
there,
side.
Exactly the same.
Okay. But now also, I want you to compare their hands. Go to Jon Snow's hands. Yeah. Because they did something with the Photoshop where now it makes Ned Stark look like he have teeny tiny little hands.
Oh. Yeah, it does
look at
too.
These little, tiny little baby hands. Oh, poor guy. Same. That's why he dies in every movie. He can't defend himself. Oh, he's got the best hands.
He couldn't even hold the sword to lift it above his head. The first scene. The other characters, though, we've got Brienne. She's got Oathkeeper in her hands, though, which is super smart because, as we know, that sword is Valyrian steel. And it is the sister sword from the two swords that were forged from ice, being Ned Stark's. Sword. The other one, Jamie Lannister's got it. It's called Widow's Wail. It used to be his son's owl. Awkward. And he's heading to the north with that one. So we know for certain, though, there are two swords with Valyrian steel, which is super important going into this season. We're also going to chat about Sansa Stark. She is wearing an outfit that's a lot like the Tullys. kind of attire, which is, of course, her mother's house. The sigil in this one is a fish. So is this meaning that she's...
Brendan Tully specifically, right? His look.
Oh, that's the black fish right
there?
Yeah,
right.
Oh, it is a similar look. Yeah, and some crimson, hints of crimson, which is... Or am I? It's got fish scales kind of look.
Yeah, Maude, what were you asking though?
Well, it also could be a dragon scale though if you squint.
Yeah.
That possibly she might not want to bend the knee to Daenerys.
Loyalty to her.
Her brothers made the deal already.
Well, not only because she's representing the Tullys at a time when it's not about representing your old house, but, you know, coming together. But also, Brendan Blackfish is famously the stubborn one.
Yeah.
That's why they had to plan out, so not wanting to bend the knee. You know, it does go with that icy glare that she gave Daenerys in the teaser.
Oh, right. Yeah.
She's
so
giving
much.
It now still.
Yeah.
She's not happy.
She's going Dark Phoenix.
Other characters on it, though, we've got Euron, we have Theon. There is also Samwell Tarly, who looks like he'd rather be anywhere else except sitting on that iron throne.
Yeah, it kind of seemed like the kind of thing where they were doing the photo shoot and then some of the actors accidentally got called to set or something. And they're like, oh, yeah, go ahead and get up there, Missandei.
Yeah, Missandei, you haven't had a turn yet. They're like, this is the last season.
It's fine. It's for your gram. It's okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it did kind of have that feel. I don't think all these characters are in contention for the throne, but I think the thematic question is, like, really, it's anyone's game.
Yeah.
I think that's what they're trying to say, right? And the chaos is a ladder, and so this is the most chaotic moment.
Yeah, Varys made it. Yeah, yep. He's up there.
I want him to.
Well, let us know if you found any clues in these photos. There's always clues to find.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi: People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
But yeah, we had a bunch of news this week, right? Like, I saw something about a Walking Dead spinoff. So here's what's going on here. AMC executives let slip that there's another Walking Dead spinoff series in the works. Now, this is in addition to current existing spinoff, Fear the Walking Dead, and the upcoming movies centered around Rick Grimes. So Rick Grimes left the show. He's got three TV movies in the works that some have said Danai Gurira could show up or Maggie could play a role in that story. But for this other new spinoff series, they haven't given away any details. They haven't said anything about the cast or the time period of when it takes place. It could be fun to speculate, though, on what this new show might be. So, in my case, I think it could be fun to, like, go the direction that the Telltale games might go. That could be fun. Realistically, I think they might follow something with the Governor as one of the most popular characters.
Like an old story?
Yeah, an old story. Go back in time and follow him. Because he's one of the great villains.
Or follow him after he turns.
We're just going to... It's going to be a silent film of just, like, this Walker. I'd be curious to see how, like, Woodbury got set up and his backstory with his daughter. He's such a rich character. He was so well portrayed on the show. And I think if you're going to build an entire new series out of it, it has to be something that people really care about. Mm-hmm. So you got to find your Frasier. And I think the Frasier of this one is the Governor.
And you think this is your guess of what you think they will do?
This is what I think
they
will do. I have some speculation of what I would really love.
Okay, so I guess let's say on what we think they will do.
Yeah,
I think that Fear the Walking Dead was a play to a new audience, potentially, like a demographic. So in the Latino community, horror movies are very big, and that's why they shifted the Paranormal Activity movies to have the
Dia de los,
or not that, but they had a Mexican kind of themed one.
It's Coco, right?
The movie Coco,
Dark Teresa Pixar, Cars Universe.
It's very scary. Yeah. But that something about that it connects with that community, at least in terms at the box office. So I kind of wouldn't be surprised if they do that again, because that's what they did with Fear, but in a different direction. So maybe they'd go after international audiences. So maybe we'd finally see one like an Eastern Walking Dead or something like set in Asia.
Ooh, yeah.
Or another geographic change, but what they're actually doing is a demographic change.
Yeah.
I mean, I still think it'd be interesting to still keep it in relevant cultures. For some reason, I'm like, I don't know why, I feel like they're going to do New Orleans.
NCIS New Orleans
or the
crossover?
The vampire show, True Blood.
Oh, sure.
Oh, and Originals is set in there too. What was that? Oh, Originals, the spinoff of Vampire Diaries, is set there too. Thank you for that. I didn't know.
Yeah.
So,
okay, who are you talking to right now?
A ghost? Yeah. Person that's getting,
I love to.
Giving me my dignity back.
It could be fun to really get in the lore of the zombies, or maybe we discover how the outbreak began, like scientifically speaking.
So this comes into my idea, which is not what they will do, but what they should do. I think if they want to get people to care about it again, they should actually highlight the actual threat that's happening. And that's the fact that 24 countries in America now has a little something called the zombie plague, the zombie disease, which is infecting deers. Yeah, it started off with deers a long time ago. And now it's basically a degenerative disease where your body wastes itself. It's a wasting disease. And they've just discovered that it can cross from deer to human. So you want to talk about an actual zombie apocalypse, this is going down. And I believe that this is how to make people care about it, because we could be zombies very, very soon.
So you're saying make it a documentary?
Yes. Yeah. Half documentary, and then it's like, you know, based, yeah, every time it's like, these are based on a true story. Names have not been changed.
You could do The Walking Deer. Just, you can keep the letters pretty much the same and just change the last letter stretch out the line and then add another little
Devin liked it.
Line. Can we add that in post? There we go. The Walking Deer.
My stuff, so that says everything.
The Walking there it is.
Wow, it took a long time to load that up.
AMC proudly presents The Walking Deer.
We're not paying for that soundboard.
Crossover with Yes, Deer.
That's the one time we used it.
No, I want to see one set in like Eastern Europe. I want to see somewhere set in like the Middle East.
Say what you really want. Say what you really want.
Al-Qaeda zombies.
Outback zombies.
Right. Well, I want to see just other parts of it. I love this idea of seeing.
No one ever includes Australia.
Oh, it's already so post-apocalyptic down
there.
Yeah,
exactly.
Oh, that'd be so great. That'd be blast. It'd be like
Mad
a Mad Max.
Mad Max is also dead. Dead Mad Max.
I like the idea. I've said this before, but I'm a huge fan of seeing infrastructure crumble. So I like the idea of what the functioning actual American government is.
So that sounds incredibly morbid.
I
thought I was the one who was planning like the evil plot line, having ultimate powers. But you, I think,
I'm talking about a scenario where the government is falling apart because of too much partisan politics. I mean, it's
totally fictional.
Did we say about the chaos theory earlier?
The Mandela effect, the darkest timeline.
But also, I'd be down, even though it would spoil the other ones. When I'm more into the future, because it combines my interests of horror and future, go ahead and skip ahead to somehow we have technology again. But maybe in a slightly advanced technology.
Cyborg,
but we still
zombies.
Haven't beat
it. Say no more. Say no more.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, well. That's how that works. Zombies, if you would like.
The world ends. Well, Philip, I want you to say more, but I want to move on to another subject. This whole Dark Phoenix trailer that came out this week.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, you watched it, I know, because you did the breakdown already. Modern, if you're caught up on the details of what we learned in this trailer.
Oh, no, because I don't know if I care.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was the big question. Right after the first trailer, a lot of people were like, do we even care about this movie? Especially in the wake of the Disney-Fox merger news, where we were like, is this movie even going to matter?
Right.
Does this movie count? Is it going to be a dream that, you know,
MCU characters
happening?
I feel like they flipped a coin whether they would
continue
it or not, and it just hit the right
one. We've already spent a lot of money on it, so we'll just release it.
Yeah, it almost sounded like they wanted to release it. I do want to actually get to that topic in a minute, but, oh, man, I said mimit because I said someone in earlier.
Okay.
So here's the thing with this trailer, and I think it actually is a reaction to people feeling like they weren't caring about this movie. There's this huge spoiler in this trailer. If you didn't watch the trailer, then this is going to be a spoiler for you. If you did watch the trailer, they give it away very clearly.
Oh, yeah.
It was confirmed by the director, Simon Kinberg. So this is enough warning for you. Again, spoiler, spoiler, spoiler. You've jumped out of your car by now if you don't want to hear it.
Tuck and roll.
Tuck and roll. That in this movie, spoiler alert, Mystique dies. She is killed by, you know, the Dark Phoenix version of Jean Grey, and they totally gave that away in the trailer. Mm-hmm. The director said that they did it to make sure that people understand that Jean Grey is a major threat now, mm-hmm. Even to other X-Men, that there's major consequences. But a couple of things there. One, he said consequences that are major. So I'm thinking that could actually be that she's not the only one, because if they're already going to give away one death, then it's like, well, how do you still have stakes? It's like, oh, because other people will die too. Mm-hmm. And then I have other thoughts too. But first off, I want to ask you guys, who else is going to die?
Well, I mean, I always think about this in not who I think in the comic book sense, but when contractually. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Jennifer Lawrence, she had a three-movie deal.
Too.
She wanted out so bad. She did not want to do the last two movies.
Have you seen how her makeup has degraded every time,
she's
too?
She's just run out. Well, she didn't want to put on the body paint, so they made a suit for her to get into.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, she just puts on this onesie now. But she opted out. She got locked into a really, really unfortunate contract. And then she won for Silver Linings Playbook
right.
and took off. So this is nightmare torture
so
for her.
So who else is in that situation then, are you thinking?
I think maybe Evan Peters. Two first names. I don't know which one comes first.
Evan Peters, yeah.
Thank you.
Quicksilver is going to go, yeah.
Well, I mean, which is unfortunate because I think he's probably the best character of the last...
those sequences are the most memorable ones. Every Quicksilver scene, but as we know, Quicksilver is not faster than bullets, according to the MCU. So maybe they just shoot him. what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, if you watch the breakdown of the trailer that I did, Quicksilver is barely in this trailer at all. The only scenes that you really see him in are in the Red Hook neighborhood scenes where Jean Grey kills Mystique. And there's a scene where he runs at her and he shows up in the school at one other point. And then all this other action that we see throughout the movie, Quicksilver is absent. And I mean, I think any of these characters could go, because let's face it, they're probably just going
to
reboot
him. James McAvoy, I don't know if he wants to be around much longer.
But he's for sure, at least I have evidence for him not being.
So I guess that's my other thought is that, are they killing off Mystique, one, to gain interest in this movie, where people are like, whoa, this movie is crazy. They're going to kill characters off. And because, like Maude says, a lot of people weren't caring about this movie before this trailer. I'm kind of into it, actually, personally. I do want to see it. But or two, are they kind of like, you know what? We are going to reboot the X-Men. We are giving it over to Disney. Let's go ahead and make the X-Men movie that has the balls to kill off the X-Men.
Yeah.
You know, like, let's kill a bunch of these characters. So that's my next question for you guys. Are they going to merge these characters over? You know, they've invested multiple movies now into these actors, and these actors are still very young. Mm. They could all still continue to play these characters. A lot of people love the James McAvoy portrayal. They love Magneto. Like, are they going to keep them, or are we going to like murder a bunch of them and then just totally recast them?
I think they're going to recast. I think they're going to let this movie play out. I think they're going to reboot the whole thing. Because, I mean, look at what like they've done with Spider-Man Homecoming, right? They had Tom Holland, who made his appearance in Civil War. Like, it's not like the world was against Andrew Garfield, and these all feel like the Andrew Garfield version of the X-Men.
I was just about to say that. Yeah. I was just trying
as much
to
as we like
name,
them,
though.
They're fine. Yeah. They aren't terrible.
But it's just really bad timing, and they're not doing it justice. So it's like, do you keep throwing money at something that's kind of like, you know, half animated?
It's tough because like, I think part of it is a lot of people are paying their respects to X-Men for launching this whole genre, basically, for us. With the original X-Men movie, like, that made this version of superhero movies legit. Of course, we had Batman movies and Superman movies before that, but this style of X-Men movie has been kind of started this whole thing. And then they kind of almost rebooted it when they went to First Class, and they still were like, oh, we can't do a full reboot, even though the actors are old. Let's connect it to the same universe. It's kind of like this Frankenstein thing of like, let's keep sticking these dead body parts together and like see if we end up with
Apocalypse
movies we like.
Apocalypse was literally dead body
Apocalypse
parts.
Apocalypse was a great example of kind of like, man, you guys are feeling like forced to do these movies, but First Class was great. Mm-hmm. I liked lots of Days of Future Past.
Days of Future Past is fantastic. Yeah. These are all fantastic stories. It doesn't like, by rebooting it, it doesn't erase that these things happen. Like, I still love Spider-Man 2. The Sam Raimi Spider-Man 2 for me is like one of the best superhero movies ever.
Interesting question that Eric just made me think of. Because I think I maybe disagree. I think when you reboot a franchise, it does erase the old ones emotionally. Because you just said you love Spider-Man 2, and I can't remember a thing about it anymore.
I mean, you would say that. Would you say that about Ghostbusters?
Dr. Octopus.
When Ghostbusters came out, that didn't erase the original Ghostbusters movie.
It amplified it.
It maybe made some people
mad. Well, no, because
mad,
it was very much a different direction that they took it in. But now they're talking about doing Ghostbusters again. Maybe this version might.
Yeah.
You know, if they do, look at the Fantastic Four, right? Uh-huh. Like, we're dying for them to erase that from our
memories. I don't want to look at the Fantastic Four movies right now.
But you're not going to tell me that, you know, when the next Fantastic Four movie inevitably comes out, that you're still remembering the original version with, what's his name, McMahon, or man, what's his name from Nip/Tuck?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Chris Evans, now Captain America.
Yeah. What's his name?
I think it all depends on the relative quality of the movie. We're in pretty uncharted territory, right? This is an unprecedented time. We've never been in a situation where superhero movies have been this salient through pop culture, mm-hmm. and so much where we're even having this conversation. I think they can do it in a way. I mean, they're going to eventually reboot Wolverine. Is that going to make me like Logan any less?
Maybe not Logan, but are you going to feel it and you're going to think about it? And here's actually maybe the most pressing example, the Batman movies, right? Like, mm-hmm. Batman has been done a number of times now. And I'll say that everybody knows that this version of Batman that we just had with Batfleck did not erase the Dark Knight trilogy at all for any of us.
It didn't succeed.
The Dark Knight trilogy, I would argue, did emotionally erase the Tim Burton trilogy.
For some.
Well, movies.
I think that's a good example of my point of view on this. Like, I can still rewatch the Tim Burton Batman.
Nostalgically, maybe, yeah. but you don't feel like those are the Batman movies anymore.
And that's always going to be the case for every new generation of fans who takes on a property. Like, it's the same thing of people who are young, who are just watching The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi now. Those are their Star Wars movies. Right. They're going to have the same attachment to the old ones, just because that's why they're re-releasing these, so that, like, new generations of people can fall in love with what they like about
it. It's a completed story. You know, I think we are invested when it's a continual story. But once that sort of trilogy or whatever, when it's done, mm-hmm. yeah, that kind of ends for you. So
I'm going to throw out there then, if it is about the completion of the story. By the way, I'm not saying that it's a bad thing, right? Like, I think we could do the X-Men better than we've done them. Mm-hmm. So I'm okay with emotionally letting go of the previous version. But I'll just throw it out there. If you're like, yeah, why wouldn't you be, that everything you guys just said would argue then that we could totally reboot the Marvel Universe right now too, because mm-hmm. we just completed their story.
And I think we could. I think that's fine.
And people would be like, what? No!
And those people will be close to death.
Why there's such a long gap between them. I think
you think it's just going to start over? Ooh,
well, and there's ways, there's clever ways you can work around this too. If you look at what J.J. Abrams did with Star Trek, right? He found this interesting time travel conceit where they were still able to get Spock, the original Spock, to come back and still be part of this and continue the storyline using some, you know, time travel mechanics. There's ways that we can think outside the box and keep and preserve what we loved about the old timeline and
they've
tell a new story too.
Time travel, so.
Yeah,
and multiverses. So
we'll see. I'm really curious what you guys say about this in the comments. Just generally, like almost like in terms of voting, does a reboot of a franchise for you, not literally, but does it emotionally kind of replace the previous franchise for mm-hmm. you, even if you don't want it to? So, for example, for me, I'm really nervous about the Buffy reboot. Mm-hmm. You know, I love the original. There's another one coming. I almost don't want it to happen because I'm scared
of it
hurting
perfect.
My original.
Yeah.
For sure. Interesting debate.
All right, what else did happen this week?
We've got a bit of other news in a segment we call In Other News. Will Smith is officially out of Suicide Squad for the reboot.
Called it.
Oh, wow.
I wonder why. Because he's too busy being blue as a genie.
And expensive.
Viola Davis, though, is back in. She's in. She's signed on.
Oh, great.
You definitely need Amanda Waller in that. Yeah.
We got Finn Wolfhard is in talks to star in the new Ghostbusters movie. It's a little
Slimer.
This stuff makes no sense to me. It's not thinking outside the box at all, because he was literally in Stranger Things dressed up as a Ghostbuster. So mm-hmm. to me, it's just like, well, Stranger Things have happened.
Yeah.
Know what I'm saying? Thanks. Good
stuff. Devin, sound effect, quick. Why is it always ka-chow? Why is ka-chow the only sound you put on the soundboard?
It's the only sound you need.
Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse is now available for streaming. It's got an old universe mode where you can see a bunch of deleted scenes, including a new Spider-Ham sequence that happens at the beginning.
Ooh, we got to jump on that.
I could see that maybe five more times.
Yeah, it's such a great rewatch. We got a video coming out where other more details and Easter eggs that we even missed the first time we caught it that we're able to look at now that we have digital and we can like pause it and look at it. So, yeah, I'm excited to talk about that again.
Kevin Feige has clarified that the upcoming Marvel Disney Plus series will definitely tie in directly with the MCU movies.
Oh. Oh, nice.
Like, which is doesn't sound like news until you realize the Netflix ones did not.
Yeah.
So it's actually saying, like, no, these will count. Even Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. didn't.
Hopefully not more really. Than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They would just kind of lightly
barely,
touch
no,
on
it was just
some
Thor stuff.
Right, Thor stuff, yeah.
And then the Warner Brothers chairman, Kevin
Sugihara.
Yeah. I love how you say it so effortlessly, and yet I am here making a fool out of myself. Told an interviewer that the DCEU is not focusing on a larger connected universe for now.
Okay.
Great.
That's probably for the best.
Again, they're doing Marvel in reverse, where they did ensemble, and then now they're realizing that the individual movies are a lot better.
Which maybe wasn't their strategy to begin with.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. Exactly.
But we'll like, I think it's better for these characters. You actually have a bevy, I love using bevy, of interesting characters in the DC comics that you want to explore in their own movies. You don't have to rely on an interconnected universe that Marvel Comics did and
Aquaman
their history.
Is in the top five highest grossing movies of all time at the moment.
Internationally, with international, yeah.
That's it's huge.
Yeah. So go and do each character justice, and then put them into a league. Yeah. together after
immediately.
Oh, we have to do the characters justice and then the league.
Yeah, we started with the League of Justice. Oh,
damn it.
But give us Flashpoint. Give us a Nightwing movie. You know. Yeah.
You know how to make me happy.
And just like focus on these stories, right? And then we have. Yeah, Aquaman 2 is coming out in 2022, right?
Yes, December 16th,
yeah.
I think.
Just good on you. What's the name again, Maude?
What?
Kevin Tsujihara.
I will spoil this movie for you.
Well, now we're going to move on to our New Rockstars News Lightning Round.
Lightning Round?
We got some Lightning Round. We got some tweets from you guys. Thunder Round. Because lightning doesn't have a sound. So
just knocked over a bunch of batteries.
I'm going to read
cases.
These questions. Are we ready? Yeah. Maude, I'm Agent 14 on the Himalaya app. Thanks for using Himalaya. Wants to know, do you think Endgame will open with Luis recapping the MCU?
I really hope so.
So great.
Oh, I really, really hope so, but probably not. But
So like Iron Man?
Philip, at Like Daisies wants to know, what's a personal film theory that you keep a secret from everyone else?
A personal film theory that I keep secret from everyone?
That is not a lightning question.
Yeah. I'm confused by the question. I can't tell you.
Good answer.
It's a secret.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, for me.
Smited down from the heavens.
At Davey Bookward Dab wants to know, what movie do you like that everyone says it's awful or bad? Mine is Speed Racer. What's a movie that I like that I think is that people say is bad?
There's a lot of these.
Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter.
Let's see. I really liked the, you know what? Not a lot of people say this is bad, especially if you watch his channel, but a lot of people think Doctor Strange is like one of the worst Marvel films. Like if you have to compare them, Doctor Strange is my favorite Marvel film. Hands down, it is my favorite Marvel film. I love that movie.
On you.
Yeah. So there you go. There's an answer. I just think it's great. I love everything about it.
Some people liked Iron Man 3 as well.
Yeah, I loved Iron Man 3 too. That's up there.
Was it 2 that was worse? Oh.
2 I think is worse than 3. Maude at erod826 wants to know, for anyone, so maybe it's not just for you, but we'll have you be the point.
For any Maude,
who's going to be the one to tell Jon Snow the truth about his parentage? Bran, Sam, or someone else?
Bran. I like Bran because he knows everything. And like we're just saying with the Dark Phoenix thing, it's like we have to land a bomb so that you know how powerful someone is. I think that's a pretty good one.
Yeah, I think Bran.
He was there.
Yeah, Bran has no emotional awkwardness. He'll just be like, yeah, you're not your dad's
son.
By
the way, dad's totally not that person. By the way, the album comes out next week. Thanks.
Philip, at True Genius wants to know, since Gilly is either aunt/sister/niece/cousin/possibly mother to all the White Walkers who were originally Caster's sons, could she become the potential perfect Night Queen candidate?
Someone been reading my fanfic? Gilly, chapters 8 through 30.
It's fascinating.
No. is the answer, though. No, because also, Caster's children did make White Walkers, but he's younger than their race.
Right,
is,
yeah.
You know
they've
what I mean?
Existed long before, yeah.
So they were probably just kidnapping wildlings before that in order to do it.
For me, at GeoSerum wants to know, will we learn the secrets of the faceless men in the last season of Game of Thrones? I think not. I think the show has said everything they're going to say about the faceless men. I think it'd be interesting if they came back into it, especially, you know, if Arya has some comeuppance. But we have 6 episodes left. I think they're going to focus on the tasks at hand. And I don't know if I really need the faceless men to come back in the show.
At Fimo wants to know, do you think not even Jack and Hagar will come back?
I think it'd be interesting if he did show up to pay some kind of debt. But I think we've seen everything we're going to see from him. I think the show wants to move on. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say no, and it might show up in next year's What We Got Wrong. Maude at Pookness Monster wants to know, what are the chances that Cable's time travel device is the same altered technology from Endgame?
What are the chances? 46%.
That's pretty good.
Thank you.
That's higher than I'd give it. And Philip at EddieC89 wants to know, seriously, where is Gabe? If you answer, you'll have the same fate that he did.
Who's Gabe?
That's right.
Eric is completely compatible with other white guys on the channel, right?
That's right.
But where's
they
Drew?
Gave, they stole, they
that's
conquered.
The real question. And moving on to some other things we got for you guys.
Let's wrap this sucker up, guys. Let's just get to our 15-second shout-outs. I'm excited because this time I actually remember mine. So each of us is going to have 15 seconds to shout-out, plug,
I thought it went to and it's a good
or
day.
Ramble about anything they want. Sam, why don't you start? Sam? Oh, okay.
Sam, get off the drums.
Just crashed into the drum set. That's great. All right.
So clumsy.
All right. So for me, if we could just put 15 seconds on the clock. Okay. Great. Oh, sure. Just a reminder that there's going to be a Picard Star Trek series that just focuses on Picard. Now, I think it's like 19 years or something after the previous thing. He's just going to be current age Picard, which I love because that means they're not going to like recast him as somebody else. So just a reminder, it's worth it get all access probably.
Great. Mod?
I want to shout out to Black Milk. It's a label that started in Brisbane. I'm wearing it right now. They've just released their new range, which is Rick and Morty, and they sent me a bunch of stuff, and it's awesome. Cool. I'm going to take a photo and put it on my Instagram. But while I'm at it, I'm also going to talk about Shop What, which is my label. It looks a lot like Black Milk, but it's not, because it's for guys and girls, and there's a new range, and there's three new designs that we just dropped. It's awesome. 1 second spare.
But also, real quick, Shop What is spelled?
Oh, WHUT for there what? It stands for We Have Unlimited Talent.
Oh,
so
I didn't
check
know that.
That out. New designs, never seen before.
Oh, that's like a sneaky anagram. Acronym.
Eric, that was your time.
Oh, yeah. For my 15 seconds.
Despite
the prompter saying I'm probably going to plug my show, I'm not going to plug my show because it's tonight. It's already out there in the world. I'll do that next week. For now, I'm going to plug someone made an amazing video version. They animated our live reading of Donald Glover's Deadpool script. It looks fantastic. They did such a great job. I'm going to tweet it out. Go see it on my Twitter page. Give that person lots of views because they did an amazing job. Thank you for doing that.
Amazing.
Yeah. And
does that mean I'm officially a voice actor?
Yes, you are. Yep. I think we're all we have to be SAG.
That one.
I think we're SAG now. But we're returning to our trivia question that we asked earlier.
That's the one. I certainly did ask it. Now remember, if you do not get close to the answer, if it is the most embarrassingly far awayness of the answer, that doesn't make sense more, you will have to reach into the gift of shame and perform that task. And it's going to be on a green screen so people can humiliate and manipulate and exploit you for the rest of your life.
Off-screen no producer says it's not on green screen this time.
Oh, thank God, because I have a career that I really want to last longer than 6 minutes.
Also, you like wearing the same shade of green that we're putting behind you.
That, I didn't think about that. In hindsight, that's probably really brilliant of me to get out of losing.
That doesn't work.
But the question was, again, which MCU film was shot under the secret title of Summer of George? Eric reckons it was Guardians of the Galaxy.
Philip said Avengers Age of Ultron.
And Maud said Winter Soldier.
Summer of George, Soldier. But it wasn't at all, guys. It was Spider-Man Homecoming. None of us are right.
Spider-Man Homecoming. So it's going to be who... Devin and OP, who's the closest?
Okay, so Mod will lose, Philip wins.
All right, so if you're listening to this on a podcast and you've just heard this nonsense or stuff right now, go pull over and then pull up our Twitter.
I read all these guys.
Mod did write a lot of these.
Oh, that one's a men's only one. That'll be exciting.
So you can follow us on Twitter at New Rockstars and you'll be able to see what this GIF is. But thank you guys so much for watching. Mod, what are you going to do for us?
I'm a real boy now. Not quite. Pinocchio, and I'm so glad I pulled it out because I couldn't spell it and I had to apologize for the spelling of it, has his strings attached still.
You're Pinocchio, but you have your strings attached.
Feels very NSYNC. All right, so that's...
All right, so you get
my
out of the
God,
way.
I will channel NSYNC. Thank you.
Yeah, No Strings Attached, a seminal album from the preeminent boy band from
flex,
the early 2000s, NSYNC. Not a weird flex, a very proud flex. I want to thank our hosts, Maude Garrett at Maude Garrett. She's doing this tonight. You're probably going to start a fight. Philip Molina is me at Fimo. There you go. And Eric Voss at EA Voss. You can follow all of us on there. Hey, go check out my Instagram. I'm trying to be forced to use it. It's Philip Molina. A reminder that you can watch this on YouTube, but you can listen to it in audio form anywhere you get podcasts. Please do it on Himalaya. The video is youtube.com/newrockstars. And then you can also, by the way, leave comments on the Himalaya app. As you can see, they could end up in the lightning round. Eric, what are you doing?
I also have strings.
Get that Eric out of the way.
You won't find any strings on me.
All right. This just always devolves into nonsense, but that's our show. Give it a like, give it a share, give it a subscribe, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Last time I trusted someone, I lost an eye.
Oh, man, that dang soundboard.